You're listening to The Impulse Project, Episode 12, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community.
And welcome back to The Impulse Project. This is episode 12, featuring music from the demo scene, the tracking community, and we are covering, again, another party, and this time we are looking at the Revision Party of 2016. Revision is the largest party in the world, I guess, now, and it's a really awesome pure demo scene event that takes place annually around Easter. And this year it took place between March 25th and 28th in Saarbrücken, Germany. Hosting the show today is myself and, as always, Ed.
Howdy, guys. Yeah, so Revision is, like Brian said, an absolutely huge party. And it's like an actual party as well as just one of, you know, traditional chiptune style party.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have seminars, they have, you know, after parties and all this stuff. It was like more than 700 people attended this year. It was just absolutely insane.
And from over 30 different countries, too. There's just basically this huge international event.
And lots of crazy stuff comes out of it, you know, both in stories and in actual, you know, chiptunes and demos, both modern and old school. So we've collected four of our favorite tracks from the party that we wanted to share with you guys today.
Yeah, so like Ed was saying, you know, this party is massive. And what was really cool about it is, even though you and I weren't able to attend, we could watch a lot of it online, streaming. They had, you know, a lot of the seminars, a lot of the compos, all this stuff was going on, and you could watch it live. And it was, most of the time, it was, you know, in the middle of the night for us, but it was still a lot of fun to go back and check it out. And all those events and all those different competitions are all logged on YouTube, so you can check them out there. Anyways, the track that brought us in, this is a really explosive, energetic track. It's called Franz Sancisco, and it's a 16-channel XM file at about 68 kilobytes, and it was composed by Figgle Huz of the group Panda Design.
I still can't say the name of this track right. Every time I do it, it's Franz Sancisco.
Yeah, it took me a lot of practice to get that right.
Yes. So this one comes in kind of slow, and then it really picks up the pace, and it kind of changes tempo like three or four times throughout the whole song. It kind of catches me off guard a couple times because there's like a two-note stutter,
right,
like where it kind of like leaves the time signature altogether and then goes into a completely different time signature. So it really kind of kept me on my feet while I was listening to it.
Yeah, I think that the complexity of this XM file is really cool because there's, you know, little tiny flourishes with a really, really strong melody, very awesome like synths kind of deep down embedded into the track that you can barely, you know, can faintly hear, but just adds to the fullness of the track. I love it. This was such a fun one to listen to.
Yeah, that lead synth was definitely saxophone.
Oh, big time.
There's a lot of like saxophone tropes and, you know, little like note swings in there that definitely reminded me of like brass instruments. There's like that bass sweep in there too. It's like brrr, when it just keeps going down and like right towards the end of the track that I really, really like that one.
Yeah, I think it actually does it somewhere in the middle of the track too. It's just a lot more faint. But it's just so punchy, it's so defined that it does kind of catch your ear right away.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it's nice to actually hear some more Amiga Tracker files. It's been like two or three episodes since we've done anything but you know, Wavetable and stuff lately.
Yeah, it's been a while. We're kind of overdue. In fact, I'm kind of worried about the next episode. I feel like we don't even know what we're going to do yet. I guess it's going to be another free pick. Anyways, yeah, so this track was composed, like I said, by Figel Huz of the group Panda Design, and his real name is Fig Wasberger, and he's a Swedish chiptune artist. There's not a whole lot of information on the guy other than his chiptune repertoire, but he's been doing tracked music and stuff like Sid music, and I think he does some Spectrum stuff as well ever since 2006. And 2006 is kind of a rough date because that's the earliest track I could find that he did. So I don't know how long he's actually been, you know, working on it or been in the game, but that's the best I could find.
Cool. And he had another one that took fourth place in the Old School Music Compo, right?
Yeah. So this was a track that actually I wanted to I wanted to have as my other track, but I realized like, oh, it's the same composer. I might as well split it up a little bit. But the track is called 8-Bit Burgers. And it's going to go on the back burner for a little bit, but definitely have to play it.
Sweet.
Yeah, anyways, you like that track? Because I absolutely loved it.
That track was definitely sweet. It
took fourth.
Yeah, it took fourth place, so I think it's deserving of that.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't, like, blow me away. I think a lot of the first place tracks generally tend to kind of push the envelope as far as technology and sound design goes.
Right.
This one was a really solid track, but it wasn't, you know, super outside the box. So, yeah, I think fourth place is probably where it should belong.
It does have a little bit of a shorter kind of looping point, I think. It's kind of very, very strong for, like, several bars, but it kind of starts repeating, and I think that maybe is why there wasn't enough, I guess, dynamics. I don't know. That's kind of hard to argue because I don't know. I thought it was a really dynamic track, but I'm just trying to think, you know, objectively here. But it definitely was meant to be ranked in some of the best, though.
Absolutely. So this one actually came in fifth place in the mixed music category. Then this next one is called A Computer in My Backpack and a Chiptune in My Heart. It's a SID file by LFT. All right, welcome back. That was A Computer in My Backpack and a Chiptune in My Heart. It was a 5 kilobyte SID file on the 8580 chip in PAL timing by LFT, otherwise known as Linus Akeson. And what a jumpy, jaunty little cartoony tune. I love that track. It just gets stuck in my head.
I love this composer, actually. I'm actually a really big fan.
Yeah, and he's got a ton of stuff, too.
He's got a ton of stuff. And he all of his music has this really cheerful, playful, but just complex kind of side to it. And I like this track. This, like I was telling you, you know, before we started recording, I was like, man, this is like a little love story. It just it's so honest and so innocent and so sweet, but you can't help but love it.
I'm pretty sure this song has lyrics, because
it's got it.
You can sing along with it. You can go, a computer in my backpack and a chip tune in my heart. Like, it totally follows the
totally fits.
Yeah, so I want to hear the rest of the lyrics to this song. I'm sure they're adorable, and just as adorable as the song is. It gets a little bit, like, I don't want to say dark at the end, but the bass and the drums kind of get a little heavier. It gets almost like a little bit of a dubstep or a trap feel towards like the last 30 seconds of it.
Yeah, I can see
and
that.
And then it ends really happy again. So kind of an interesting little trip there.
And, you know, it's also interesting is that it has a very defined ending to it, which we don't really see a lot in SID music. It clearly has a stopping point. It doesn't really... I don't see how it could loop unless it just started all the way back over from the beginning. Yeah. It really has that last kind of, you know, that last hit, that last hurrah kind of thing, and then it's over.
Like the way a lot of those, like, Spielberg movies end, like, dun, 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 you know, that's the end of the movie.
Exactly. No, this was a really, really fun track, and it did really well in the competition, too.
Yeah, it took 5th place in mixed music. LFT is from Lund, Sweden. He's a founding member of the Swedish group Cryo. And if you head over to linusakeson.net, he's got a huge website set up there that basically talks about all of his projects. Now, he's not just a composer. He's also a programmer. He's also a musician. So he's got all this stuff that he does. He's got articles about different tools that he's made and different programming techniques for old school PCs, articles that other people have written he puts up there. So it's this huge website, and it's very well organized. You can pop through and read any articles you want on there. He's got a lot of stuff that you can, you know, go through. So he's been going at this since, I think, like 2007 is when he first started entering music, back at / 2007.
I think that's when he entered Kung Fu Goldfish. That was a really, really fun track. I've been going to this guy's website for years. He is an absolute genius. And what's really, really cool, and it's really relevant to this show, is that he created what he did was he basically gutted an old school organ, and he made a thing called a chipophone.
I saw that. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. So what it is basically, like, I think it has some synthesis parts to it, but it basically recreates all the different, you know, square wave, sine wave, you know, triangle, all that stuff with an actual, you know, piano or an actual organ. And it's a blast to watch him play some of these chiptunes. Like, if you go to his YouTube, he has, I think he did some, like, different, like, Zelda tracks and Contra. And he's done all sorts of different stuff he plays live. And it's so much fun to watch him do it.
That's really cool. We'll have to find some videos of it on YouTube and put it up on our Facebook page.
Well, I wanted to build one of those chipophones myself. I mean, I have for years, but the technical knowledge you need to be able to do that is probably much beyond what I can do in the hardware department. But yeah, we'll have to put that stuff online.
Absolutely. So he's kind of a star in the chiptune scene, more or less.
Yeah, he's just a really creative, brilliant guy. He just has a lot of love for this old hardware, these old chiptunes, and still puts a lot of life back into him through his projects.
That's awesome. Well, I'm sure we'll hear more from him in the future on this program. What you got next for us?
Okay, so my last track, actually, I can't believe we're already to my last track. Well, we only picked 4, so I guess that's expected. But okay, so my last track is called Star Child, and this took 3rd place in the tracked music compo, and it was composed by Virgil and Daskin. That was Starchild, which is a four-channel Amiga mod file at about 157 kilobytes. It took third place in the track music compo, and it was composed by Virgil and Daskin. I am totally amazed and in love with this track. I thought it was just so eerie, and that crazy, almost like uncomfortable beat that occurs maybe halfway in.
Yeah.
It goes into that, you know, that second kind of style pattern. It throws you off, but in a good way. It's like this, like I said, it's like an uncomfortable, uneasy, but at the same time, awesome groove. Really cool track.
To me, it sounds like what a Commodore 64 would sound like after, like, the Borg from Star Trek The Next Generation assimilated the technology, and, like, it just, it's like evil-fied or whatever.
Yeah,
That lead synth, like, back in the late 80s, early 90s, when industrial music was, like, when the scene was huge, a very common technique was to take, like, cheap Casio keyboards. Like, artists would take whatever they could because everybody was broke.
Right.
And so they would take these cheap Casio keyboards or anything that would make a square wave, and then they would feed them through, like, guitar distortion pedals.
Right.
And you would get that really crispy, crunchy sound that this track uses as its lead synth, and that brought me right back to that era.
Yeah, that's an incredible way to put it, because that lead in there is so important to how this whole song is defined. And without that crazy, almost like you said, like crunchy, you know, Casio keyboard running through a filter, it just wouldn't produce the same emotional quality, I think, to this track. but I really like that that kind of ominous, very slow, arpeggiated, I guess, riff in the background there. It's kind of in the far left side on that far left channel.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting too, because it's almost like a fake low pass and then high pass filter, almost like a band pass filter that shifts up and down. And it creates that really, you know, because with a high pass filter, when you're shaving off the lower end of the sound, it produces that really thin, kind of bright noise.
Like a nasally noise, yeah.
Right. And then when you have the low pass filter on, it starts cutting off the higher frequencies, and it makes the tone a lot more dull, a lot more like, you know, kind of like you're hearing
it. Like
a
drone.
Yeah, like you're hearing it with like your fingers in your ear, you know. Mm. To hear that kind of shift back and forth as it's playing, it's so kind of masterful and graceful that it just puts me in this trance. I really like that quality of it.
Yeah, and it had some contemporary stuff in there too. You know, once in a while those drums are just like boom, ba-da-ba, boom, boom, ba-da-ba, like a real like Jamaica dub style beat. And so that was really neat alongside like those old style synths that sounded really good together.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for any four track Amiga files. Like I there's something about four channels that the way that you can just combine everything that I always just kind of get sucked into. This track I was totally absorbed into, and just it had to go in. It's my favorite pick, I think, for this episode.
Absolutely. So I am very interested to hear on what you have about the guys who composed this track.
Yeah, so Virgil and Daskin, two guys composed this together, so that's a feat in itself, because you're not just working. I wonder if one of the guys did that first opening kind of part, and then the other guy kind of went in there and did that kind of secondary style pattern that we were hearing. Yeah, so Virgil, his real name is Jochen Feldkotter, and he's a German composer, and he's been in the scene for a pretty long time. He started off on the Amiga 1200, and I first heard his stuff actually when he was part of Alcatraz. That's where I had heard of this guy. And so it kind of caught my attention right off the bat. I'm like, oh man, I haven't seen that name pop up in a while. So that's why I scoped this track out. But he's been in a few other groups too. He's been in Complex, Essence, Rebels, Sanity, ScoopX, and TriStar and Red Sector Inc. And you can view his stuff on SoundCloud. It's soundcloud.com/Virgil. That's V-I-R-G-I-L-L. And he has a bunch of stuff that he's doing today. It's not all tracked music, and it's not all like demo scene style stuff. But he's got a ton of stuff on there that you can listen to and, you know, kind of keep up with what he's doing nowadays. So Daskam, the other composer, his name is Bernd Hoffmann, and he's another German composer, and he was a member of Desire, Essence, and also, like Virgil, was a member of TRSI. And he's currently a member of a group called the Deadliners. And the Deadliners is kind of like a new group. They started in 2014. So there's like three guys. And, you know, these are ex-scene, kind of expatriates to the demo scene. And they got together and they're like, you know what? We still like doing this stuff. Let's create a group and just keep the hobby alive. You know, they're not super active. They don't make stuff, you know, every week or something. But they get together and they produce these really cool demos. And, you know, each one of them has a role, and they keep up with it, which is really awesome.
Good for them.
Yeah. So you can find Bernd Hoffmann, his stuff, on SoundCloud as well. That's soundcloud.com/Bernd Hoffmann. And he also has a Facebook group, which you can go to, which is Daskam Music. And then you can see the Deadliners website at deadliners.net. And all their stuff is on there. So definitely check it out.
Awesome. So you were lamenting a couple minutes ago about how the show is almost over and you were so sad. So what do you say we throw in a bonus track in the middle of the show?
I 100% agree with you. I think we should play one more while we can. And yeah, why not? So that track that I was talking about earlier, 8-Bit Burgers, we've already talked about Fegel Huz and, you know, from the group Panda Design. But let's play the track because it's an excellent track. I think you guys are going to dig it.
We're back. That was 8-Bit Burgers. That took fourth place in the Old School Music Compo. That was an 8-kilobyte file using, again, the 8580 chip, and that was by Fegel Huz of the group Panda Design. I love that bass line at the beginning, how it filters, like it starts real muted and then, you know, ends up being very clear after that. It sounds almost like a real bass tone.
Oh, yeah.
Which you don't hear very often on the Sid chip.
Yeah, another good example of how, that you know, that it's almost like the bandpass is sliding up and down when it's really just one filter. And then he's kind of, you know, trading off between the low pass and the low pass and the high pass. But the title 8-Bit Burgers, I couldn't think of a better title for this track. It just, I don't know. It just sounds like 8-Bit Burgers to me.
The 8-Bit Burgers title reminds me of like River City Ransom. And I can totally hear this song being played in a game like that, you know, just kind of urban feel, very fast paced, very slick. And it's cool because, you know, now we get to hear both sides of Fegelhuz. And I think, you know, his Amiga Tracker song was very Tracker. And, then, you know, this was very Sid. You know, they're two different sides. And he understands the strengths and weaknesses of both chips and composes for that. You know, it doesn't sound like the same song just written for two different systems.
Yeah, he definitely understands the hardware because, you know, there's people who work in tracking software and they really understand that. But, you know, you throw them in front of, like, you know, Go Tracker or something, you know, where it's purely, you know, wavetable. And they're totally lost. But having the diversity to be able to mix it up and work in different kinds of, you know, with different kinds of hardware and different kinds of software is a real talent. And this track was so much fun to listen to. And it really exhibits what I like about Sid music, especially the use of the really, you know, clever use of those filters.
Agreed. And this one doesn't rely too much on those really fuzzy sounds that you hear in a lot of the later or more recent Sid chip songs. You know, it kind of keeps it a little bit, I don't know, it's not exactly happy, but it's not exactly like dark either. It's kind of like lays right in the middle there. So
yeah, I tell you, turn up your you know, listen to this in the car and turn up your bass all the way and it will just shake you.
Yeah,
it was great. Cool composer. We got to hear two tracks from him today. You know, I'm glad we threw this extra one in because we only get to do the Revision 2016 party, you know, episode once. So
exactly.
Yeah. So what do we got next?
Next up, sadly, our last one. This one is called Gumdrops. It's in a Amiga Tracker file. And this one is by Juice.
Well, don't sound so depressed. This took first place.
That's true. This is an amazing track. So let's take a listen. Thank you. we're back. That was Gumdrops, an Amiga tracker file. It was a 4-channel Pro Tracker file at 860 kilobytes, and that was by Juice, otherwise known as Nikola Fox from Zagreb, Croatia. And Juice is a man that has his finger on the pulse of contemporary dance music, for
that,
sure.
That was phenomenal track. When I first heard it during the actual track music compo, I just about lost it. I was just like, oh my god, this is so awesome. Now 860K still fits on a Amiga floppy disk, but he says in the instrument notes that it won't actually play on an Amiga 500.
That's not too surprising.
Yeah, but I guess the tracked compo had a 2 megabyte limit, so he could just totally go nuts on this, you know, file size.
Yeah, and he less than halved it too, and still got this cool sound out of it. So that's pretty impressive. And if you look at the tracker roll, you know, if you're using like OpenMPT or something while you're listening, you see there's a lot of cool tricks where the patterns will jump back and forth a little bit during the dubsteppy parts, or like, you know, really speed up and slow down. So there's a few little tricks he's using here and there.
Yeah, it sounds like record scratching in those certain parts, because he's like basically like skipping back a few ticks, right? So
yeah.
You get this really it actually sounds organic in that sense, because it sounds like, you know, like the record's playing and it's just like missing a beat and skipping back over. I love that. I thought that was so clever. This guy understands dubstep like no other.
Oh yeah, and he composes and produces his own drum and bass and dubstep tracks too. He DJs on the radio in Croatia. He's also an application developer. He's got a degree in computer engineering, so he knows the technology side of the the music production aspect of it, as well as creating his own music. So this definitely reminds me of lots of contemporary acts like Flux Pavilion, Datsik, Bass Nectar, you know, all the real big names in dubstep. This guy follows those patterns very naturally, and it sounds really good.
Yeah, you know, back to the engineering side of it, you know, he also did a lot of the samples with like using Python to create them. And I think that being able to understand the code to be able to produce like these kind of waveforms and stuff is also a very, you know, talent that not a lot of people have. Other than that, he either drew them by hand, or he stole them from the Beastie Boys. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, actually, yeah, that E drop sample he credits to the Beastie Boys. So
right,
I think
right.
That's actually like MCA shouting that or something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah. I always, whenever I hear somebody say drop, I always still think that Beastie Boys track. What was it, like Intergalactic or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it called?
I think it was Intergalactic, right?
Intergalactic, Planetary, Intergalactic. Yeah, yeah.
Right. No, it's a really cool track.
Yeah, so you can go find more of Juice's stuff over at soundcloud.com/Jusu, J-U-U-S-U. And he's also on Twitter at Jusu as well. Obviously, you know, head over to impulseproject.info and you'll find more information on all of these composers, so you can check out more of their music. We'll have lots of links posted in the show notes.
Yeah, in the Facebook group, we'll have all the you know, demos that we can post in and stuff, and you guys can check those out. And we'll be right there alongside you checking them out as well, because, you know, going back to some of these and looking at them, it's so much fun. And man, I had a lot of fun doing these last two shows. We got to cover the Forever Party just like a week or so before the revision party, and I'm really glad that we got to kind of lump these two, kind of nudge them side by side, and release them and talk about them. I think that's a really cool thing, and I want to cover more parties when we can in the future as well.
Definitely. If you guys have any recommendations or know of any parties that you'd like us to cover, definitely, you know, drop by the Facebook page or tweet at us, let us know, drop us some details about the party, and we'll take a look at it, and maybe we'll cover it when all the winners of the compos are announced. That'd be really cool. And, you know, we'll obviously intersperse our own episodes about our free pick tracks and introducing new chips and et cetera, et cetera. So as we do that, we're going to kind of mix all these different types of shows together for one giant
thing of our own. Maybe we'll have to do our own compo someday. You know, a little Impulse Project compo. I think that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, this revision party, it's so massive, and so like we like to keep these party features down to like four tracks, just because there's so many parties out there. But Yeah, yeah, but this one we wanted to keep to five, and or we wanted to bump up to five because it really is, it's kind of a special one. It's a massive party. I really love the whole, you know, evil bot, you know, vote for evil bot kind of yes. thing that was going on this year. You know, he has a whole story, a whole backstory.
He's been kind of a character for at least the past couple years.
Right.
That I've seen, and yeah, he's got this big story behind him, and tons of demos, and I think like last year there were like three or four demos just dedicated to him. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. If you watch the, I want to say it was on YouTube or Poet.net, they have the intro to the 2016 demo party. You can kind of see the backstory there. I haven't watched it in months, so I couldn't tell you the exact address, but we'll put a link in the show notes as well. I had a blast today, man. I hope everybody enjoyed listening to the music from Revision 2016. And if you want to know more about the show, obviously you can check us out online at impulseproject.info. And we're also on Facebook.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/impulseproject.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. And look forward to the next episode. Should be out in a few weeks.
For sure. In the meantime, catch me on Twitter at Ruiner9.
And I am Doki Doki Panic on Twitter as well. So thank you guys again, and we'll be back in a few weeks.